It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. A jam-packed night of sports if you're a Boston sports fan, if you are a sports fan of any kind. The NFL draft is tonight, and the Giants still with that number two pick in the draft. Patriots, two picks in the first round. You can follow us all night long on 101.3 ESPN on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. We'll do some Facebook Live throughout the night as well, so we are looking forward to the NFL draft. Celtics, they're looking to close out the Milwaukee Bucks. Game 6, 7:30 a.m., 960 The Zone. Chris Sale is on the mound tonight for the Red Sox as they are in Toronto looking to win that series. We mentioned the Celtics, and because we got to give you the Red Sox lineups before the pregame show, let's immediately go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line where we've got Kurt Heelan. He covers the NBA for Pro Basketball Talk and pretty diligently for NBC Sports Radio, which you can always listen to 24/7 online or on the NBC Sports Radio app. So again, Celtics-Bucks tonight, Game 6. And before that, Kurt Heelan. Kurt, thank you for being with us here. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate it. Game 6 tonight, Celtics looking for a series victory. What's the key to tonight's game?
Finding gaps against and finding some offense against that Bucks defense, because I think as you guys well noticed, they played much better defense at home. They're just more energized. Their role players step up, and that was the big difference when they were home. That's a really long team that has some advantages defensively just because of their height and athleticism and length, and they just don't bring it consistently. They make silly mistakes all the time and leave guys. They were better about that at home. So I expect you're going to get that tonight, and you're going to have to find some gaps to make some buckets and hit some tough shots and set something, you know. Look, that's something Jaylen Brown has done. He's become one of those guys who just makes difficult shots. You're going to need that tonight.
Yeah, I've been following a lot of the numbers on Brown specifically. He comes out of Cal. They said he couldn't shoot, and his three-point percentage has gone up from this year to his rookie year, and it just keeps improving throughout the season. How much better has Jaylen Brown gotten before our eyes?
A lot, but when he came out of Cal, there was a bit. He was seen as a potential project, but a guy who had the tools to be a quintessential NBA kind of, you know, 3-4. You know, it's also positionless now. I'm not going to pigeonhole him with that. But the physical tools were there, and you saw it in flashes at Cal. But he was still raw, and then this is what the best organizations within the NBA can do right now. Whether you're talking Boston or, you know, Utah does this. The Spurs have been the gold standard for a couple decades, which is finding good, talented players in the draft. I mean, they drafted him high, but he was raw, and then developing those guys and putting them in positions to succeed and developing things. Like, his shot was never broken. It just wasn't good. It's not like it was, I don't know, Lonzo Ball or something.
Yeah.
It was like, or Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. It was going to need refinement and work. But if the guy's willing to put in that work, if he's a grinder that way, and Danny Ainge is really good at finding those guys, then they can improve. And that's one of the things. I mean, he has those physical tools, but he has really put the work in to be able to use them, and now you can just see the confidence coming off of him.
What's amazing for me is that take out Game 5 because the Bucks shot just 36% or whatever, but Milwaukee shot 54% from the floor in this series in the first four games. To me, it all comes down to the three-point line. If they're making a bunch of shots, but they're all twos and the Celtics win, if they get hot from three, then I see this going seven.
And it very well may. I mean, they really are a team that played dramatically better at home. And you're right. They've been an inconsistent three-point shooting team all season, and that starts, honestly, it starts at the top with Giannis, who is getting better with his jumper, but isn't there yet. And when Middleton and Bledsoe and guys and the other guys around them start to knock it down, they become, look, they can put up some points. They're not a consistent team. And honestly, I keep looking at that team and thinking, you know, next year when they have a new coach and a system, they're going to be a lot more dangerous.
Kurt Helan, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports Radio, with us here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Let's move over to some of the other teams in the playoffs. If the Celtics win, they're going to take on the 76ers in round two. How would the Celtics potentially match up with this version of Philadelphia?
Philadelphia is really talented, but they've got some pieces that that make it interesting. And look, Al Horford can make Joel Embiid work and pull him away from the basket a little bit. Plus, you've got Bane still. I mean, this is where you're going to miss Daniel Theis, but having a big body, you've got to have a big body to put on him and bang a little bit and do some stuff. You've got some length and athleticism in guys, specifically Brown, that you can kind of throw at that Ben Simmons, who is going. You've just got to make him work. They're a young team. I will give them this much credit. That became a physical, chippy series against Miami, and they held their heads. Like they were not the team kind of losing their minds on that in that series. That speaks a lot to where they are and how they've been coached and who they are. They're really good. They're really dangerous. And the hard guy to watch on that team, the guy who's, you know, who's their leading scorer, Redick.
Yeah,
Redick. You know, while you're worried about everybody else, they run him off of 14 screens and wear the defender down, and he just can knock down anything. That's a good team. It'd be an interesting series, but I think you can give them. They beat Miami, but Miami's not as talented. I mean, Miami just doesn't have the high end talent that Boston does. Even without without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward, they don't have anybody as good as Al Horford, and they're not as disciplined.
Kurt, the sports radio arguments I hate the most are, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame, and is LeBron better than Jordan? I hate those sports radio debates. The third one that's creeping into my list is, what do we think of Russell Westbrook? He continues to get piled on, but then he has a great performance yesterday where he scores a lot, and people are still saying, well, it took him 39 shots to get those, all those points last night. So I'll ask you, what do you think the proper viewing of Russell Westbrook is?
He is arguably the greatest athlete at guard we've ever seen. I mean, with all due respect to Michael Jordan, who was, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Jordan, I don't know that we've seen an athlete there at that position as good as Westbrook. And there are, though, if you talk to scouts and you talk to executives from other teams, there's a lot of questions about how good a team, you can build a good team, but can you build a contender? How good a team can you really build around Westbrook playing this way? Because when you think about Jordan or Kobe or other elite gunners of their time, they also learned how to involve other players. They learned how to lift the boats around them up more than he has so far. They were on the ropes, and it took him going absolutely nuclear last night to salvage that game. But I don't know if he's going to be able to do that on the road in Game 6 where, first off, I don't think you're going to see Rudy Gobert in foul trouble like that again. I don't know that you're going to be able to keep him off the floor because that explosion started when he was out and they just couldn't stop it. I'll tell you the other thing to watch in that series, that run was made with Carmelo Anthony on the bench. He's not good anymore. He's not they're minus 9.7 per 100 when he's on the floor in this series. Does Billy Donovan finally do what he should have done a while ago, which is just really limit his minutes?
Wow.
Give him a couple minutes at the start and really limit him and go with the guys who are doing a better job.
Hard to believe we're even thinking about that. I want to ask you something on Utah, because up here we all just presumed that once the Celtics poached Gordon Hayward away, Utah was going in the tank and the Celtics were going to the finals potentially. Here they are. They earn a top four seed out west. How good is Utah, and how did they do it absorbing the loss of Hayward?
They're a lot like Boston in this sense. They are a really, really well-coached team with a really strong culture. Guys filling their roles and setting in, and they are defensively, I know Boston had the best defense in the NBA over the course of the season. If you only take the games since Gobert came back, it's Utah. They are an absolutely locked down defensive team. That's why if Gobert's not in foul trouble in the middle, that game doesn't end that way last night. Once he's out, suddenly Paul George and Russell Westbrook are getting to the rim with impunity, and Derek Favors is nice, but he's not exactly a rim protector.
Yeah.
So it's sort of that same sort of culture, and then you've got to have some scoring. You know, Kyrie Irving obviously provided that, and the shot creation for Boston, and they kind of get points out of the system. Nobody saw this with Donovan Mitchell, or virtually nobody. I mean, there were team scouts who liked him more than others coming out of college, but nobody saw, you know, he's not going to win Rookie of the Year, but he played at a Rookie of the Year level this year very fairly.
Yeah.
He's just absolutely phenomenal, and his ability to just create shots and get everybody else involved. And then they've got good passing. You know, Rubio can move the ball, and he knocked down some shots. And again, they're getting the points out of the system. It's going to be interesting to see if their ego wasn't too bruised. They know that they've got to close out Game 6. They can't go back in Game 7. That's their Game 7. On Saturday, and they've got to play that way.
Kurt, we'll get you out of here on two quick questions. Today is NFL draft night, in addition to Celtics and Bucks in Game 6. How crazy do you get into the NBA draft?
Well, I'm really into it. We cover it in pretty great detail, but personally, I lean on some of the both scouts and like some of the people from NBC Sports who are, you know, our college basketball guys, because over the course of an NBA season, I'm into it, but I don't have a lot of time. It's one thing to watch Duke, and I can see Bagley and Collins and all that guys, and I'm on the West Coast, so I got to see DeAndre Ayton on Pac-12 Network stuff. But, like, the guy who's going 15th, I don't really get to see that much.
Yeah.
So I'm into it, but it's hard. Like, right now, if you ask me, like, beyond the top handful of guys, I can't give you great detail on them because I just haven't had the time to study it yet.
Well, that leads into my last question. So up here, and I don't expect you to know the name, but Trey Bell Haynes is two-time America East Player of the Year at the University of Vermont. He's got NBA aspirations. So I'll just ask you this. How difficult is it for somebody who comes from a league like the America East, even though they put up great numbers and have a great lineage, how hard is it for them to get noticed on the NBA radar?
It's getting easier, but it's not easy. I don't know if he's going to get an invite to the main NBA camp.
Yep.
But even if he does, they put 60 guys to that main NBA camp. But beyond, the training thing in Chicago. But there are others really interesting camps where guys do send scouts, and he's going to have to earn his way in. He's going to have to get somebody's eye, get a summer league deal, unless he can get drafted in the second round, and I don't know enough. I'm not going to take a guess there. But he's got to go to summer league and earn it.
Yep.
And you do well at summer league, and then you get a training camp invite, and then you go to training camp and you impress somebody, and you go from there. Even if it's maybe you've got to get a two-way contract, but you can do it. It's just there are more opportunities now than there were. This was a lot harder 5 or 10 years ago.
Kurt Helan, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports Radio. Game 6 tonight. Celtics looking to close out the Bucks. Kurt, we appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, appreciate it. There he goes. Kurt, I go way over on these interviews when we're up against it for the Red Sox. Chris Sale versus Marco Estrada. Lineups behind Sale. Betts in center. Benintendi's in left. Hanley Ramirez, the DH. J.D. Martinez in right. Mitch Moreland at first. Eduardo Nunez at second. Rafael Devers at third. Christian Vasquez, the catcher. Brock Holt is the shortstop. Behind Estrada, Steve Pierce, Teoscar Hernandez, Justin Smoke, Yan Hervis Solarte, Kevin Pillar, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Randall Grichuk, Luke Mayle, and Devin Travis. We'll see you tomorrow, 101.3 ESPN.